It's good to be here with you this morning. We do ask an interest in your prayers, and we're thankful that God has blessed us together this morning. And as we look to Him this morning for not only guidance in His Word, but that He might, in His own way, touch each and every heart. That we all will be made to rejoice this morning in the goodness of the Lord. You know, we serve a merciful God, a God who has loved the people throughout all of time. And we have been among a remnant of God's people to understand in a small part the significance of the love that He has for us. And as we live in a country where they set aside a day each year to celebrate, you know, many people are rejoicing today in thought of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust that we are among the people who have been blessed every single day of our lives to rejoice in that truth. That we understand that our Savior liveth, He reigneth, and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven above. And that it's not just one day that we think about this, but that is who we are. That is our life as God's children who have been purchased and set aside by the blood of the Lamb. That we have been given within us that earnestness of the Spirit that's with witnesses and testifies with the Spirit of Almighty God as to who we are. That He has set us aside for His good pleasure. And that, as a people of God, that there is a life that we have been given. And there's a purpose in which we gather this morning. You know, I think we read in the from the preacher in Ecclesiastes that the whole duty of man is simply to love God and keep His commandments. And those few words seems like, well, okay, that sounds easy enough. Well, in reality, we know that it's not easy as God's little children, that we deal with this old nature of ours that hinders us from being able to worship and praise as we ought to do. For scripture this morning, if you have your Bibles, I think we'll go to the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. As we read a few words here, I'm sure that much of this will come to your memory. I'm sure that you've heard it before. If not from Brother Gary, if not from me, then some other old Baptist preacher. You've been blessed to hear about this before. But, you know, when we think of Jesus Christ as being Lord and Savior, and we think about and we hear about what a privilege and what a blessing it is for us to know Him. But while we've been blessed to know Him, seemingly that joy and peace that Scripture tells us that we as God's children should be experiencing seemingly escapes us from time to time. And in Joshua 24, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just as an introduction, it opens at, in verse 1, it opens with Joshua calling all the people of God, all the elders of God, together. And what he's going to do there is he's going to rehearse to them the mighty works of God as to how He has just taken them and delivered them through trial after trial, through test after test, that God has always been faithful to His people to deliver them. And when we think about the faithfulness of God, I think that's one of the songs that we call Great is Thy Faithfulness. When we think about the faithfulness of God, for a little child of grace, it is such a great joy when we're blessed to feel and to walk in and to live in that faithfulness that God offers to us as his children. I want to start reading there at verse 14. This starts after Joshua has rehearsed to them all that God has done for them in the past. And he simply says in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." You know, we think about the timeness of this, and we think about many of us today would think that God's children of old had such a seemingly boring life. In other words, they weren't surrounded with the things that we're surrounded with today. It seems like they should not have had the same temptations that we experience today. That's how we would think, naturally speaking. But when we consider that God's children in worship and other gods would sometimes, which is why when it comes to marrying people that weren't of children of God, they had these little idols and gods and things that they would carry around with them in the pockets. And you say, well, we don't really do that today. But I would beg to differ. I would say that we carry it around everywhere we go. We have these little things in our lives that serve to pull us away from our service to the Lord our God. You know, they didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all these little gadgets that sort of brings the world and all that they're in right into our closets. We're invaded by it every single moment of our lives. And we think about sin. You know, sin is not something that anybody escapes. You know, we think about falling into sin. Look at sin this way. Most of us can understand a nuclear disaster, right? And if you're in the radius of the nuclear disaster, then the fallout, you're going to be caught into the fallout of that. Well, imagine sin that has no limits or no barriers. It encompasses all around us and everything that is around us. Then you have a picture to what Paul said when he says, even when I do good, evil is always present. Sin is something we can't escape. It's always there. It's always present. So as God's little children, when Joshua tells the people here, he says to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. God knows our hearts. The old prophet says that the hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows our hearts, brethren. He knows our hearts. He knows our every thought. And so when Joshua says to serve the Lord with all sincerity and truth, that's what God expects of us. That when we gather together to worship the Lord our God, that our hearts are there. That all that we think about scriptures that says that, you know, that that we have trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. It means that all of our being, all of our existence, brethren, is dependent upon him who created us. and who has quickened us and made us alive, brethren, in Christ Jesus our Lord. He who has given us that new heart, brought us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. It is he, brethren, that we gather to worship in spirit and in truth. You know, I was thinking about Easter. I remember the time when, when I left home, went into the military, I didn't have any really boundaries, so to speak. In other words, I didn't have my mom to tell me that I need to go to church or anything like that. So, you know, like Easter? Yeah, Easter was one of the times I would go to church. Christmas? Yeah, I would go to church on Christmas. But the rest of the year? That was kind of debatable as to whether I would do that or not. And, I had a wife who was faithful. She would go. She would be there, and and occasionally I would do my husbandly duty and go with her. But that when we think about in sincerity, we realize that naturally speaking, we don't have that unction and desires. It's not a natural thing. That comes with a new birth, when the Spirit of Almighty God moves in our hearts and gives us that unction and a desire that we would gather together in a little Bethel spot like this to worship the Lord our God. Not only that, but to have that earnest desire to be here, or to be in a position like Brother Gary was this morning, to be at home and longing to be there and having tears because we can't get there. Brother, that's not natural. That is the workings of grace, the workings of Almighty God in our hearts. That gives us that. That is why Scripture says, when all is said and done, we are yet but unprofitable servants. It's not like we thought of this ourselves. It is that new creature that is within us who longs to be in fellowship, who longs to be in communion with the Lord our God, that draws us, brethren, as God's little children, to that mercy seat, to that throne, brethren. With all that is within us, and we think about fellowship with the Lord our God. You know, in the Gospels, I think it's in the Gospel of John, before Jesus went to the cross, one of the disciples asked Jesus. He says, "Well, Lord, how is it that thou should manifest thyself to us, and not into the whole world?" You know, brethren, what we do and what we believe is foolishness to the world. It doesn't make any sense to them. We worship a God that we cannot see. We believe in a resurrection. We believe in heaven above. But we believe in those things by faith. Do we believe in those things? And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It is given to us better than that new birth. That we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not natural, brethren, but is an act of faith that's been given to us by the Lord our God. So when Joshua tells us to do those things, there's a purpose that he's telling his people there. And when God's children don't hear that truth anymore, I mean, that is why when John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus, and he says, Lord, are thou the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus told John's disciples, go and tell John what you've seen here. The dead, the blind can see. We who were dead, brethren, are yet alive. Why? Because of that grace and mercy of Almighty God that quickened us and made us alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when Joshua says here, he says, not only does he tell them to serve, he says to fear the Lord. That is a reverential fear of the Lord our God. And when we fear the Lord our God, it is an evidence, brethren. I think we read in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of understanding. When we understand that God is the creator of this world, and us as well, and that He has created us, and not we ourselves. And we begin to fear Him because we understand His power and His might. But we also understand His love, brethren. So that fear is not that I'm afraid that God's going to strike me down today because I did something wrong. That is not why we fear Him. We fear Him because of His awesomeness. I mean, we are all that the power and might of Almighty God, and we're at all as to the love that He has for a particular people. And that in spite of us, in spite of our nature, our natural things, that God has loved us with an everlasting love, and He will always love us with that self-same love. That there's nothing at all we can ever do that will ever separate that love that God has for us a people. And He says here, He says, verse 15, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And we think about those old words, brethren. And I trust that we're blessed to see in those words that as a little child of grace, every single day in our lives, we have to make a choice. You know, brethren, we think about people running around. We know you've got free will, free will this and free will that. You know, brethren, I would contend that according to Scripture, the only people that have free will are those that have been quickened and made alive. Because those that are in darkness, they're going to stay in darkness. Unless God brings them out of darkness into His light, that's all they see is darkness. And that's all that they would ever choose is darkness. Because light comes from above. Light comes from that new birth, as does the giver of life. Jesus declared indeed that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So when we think about Joshua saying here, if it seems evil, if you're thinking it's asking too much of us, that we should serve the Lord our God, then we need to decide whom it is that we're going to serve. And remember, brethren, there is no in-between. There is no I'm in the middle here, I'm not going to do either or. It doesn't work that way. Either you're going to love the world, or actually you're going to love God. The Scripture tells us we cannot do both. You cannot love God and mammon too, because you will end up despising the one. So when we think about Joshua's word of here, I hope we can see that it applies to God's little children today as well. That we as God's little children, brethren, we make a choice. We make a choice every single moment of our lives, which is why the writer of Proverbs says, lean not upon thine own understanding, but to acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. And we think about joy, peace, rest. You know, all through Scripture, God's little children were only at rest when they were in obedience and trusting and walking with the Lord. When we think about this country, the thing that comes to mind very quickly is the book of Daniel. When we read in the book of Daniel that God simply just gave them over. You know, brethren, we serve a merciful God. But don't ever begin to think that God is asleep up there. Don't let us ever begin to think that God has changed, because Scripture clearly declares that he does not change. He is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he will be the same forevermore. And he goes on that same verse, he said, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, brethren, when we think about as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's his choice that Joshua's made. That's his choice that he's revealing to the people that he has been blessed to lead. He tells them, you chose whatever you wish to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all of Joshua's life, and the life of all of those elders that were with Joshua, God's children served the Lord all of those days. But when they stop hearing the truth, when they stop being told and reminded to serve the Lord their God, what happened? They fell away. They fell away and they stopped serving the Lord. And they find themselves in distress again. We too, brethren, when we find ourselves going astray, we find ourselves in distress because we're neglecting he who has given us life, he who has loved us with an everlasting love, he who has promised that he will be with us in every circumstance of life. And Joshua goes on, he says here, in verse 16, he says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Can't you hear yourself saying that? I can hear myself saying that. When we're blessed to think about it, and we're blessed to feel the spirit and presence of Almighty God, don't we say that in our hearts? God forbid that I should do that. God forbid that I should forsake serving the Lord our God. But what happens then? What happens when temptation comes along? What happens when life happens and the world comes into our houses? What happens? Then we forget. We forget who we are. We forget that we, just as God's people did, he says, God forbid that we should do that. When we find in another moment, another instance, we find ourselves doing the exact opposite of that which we had just said we would never do. That's the nature of this old flesh that we're in. We can't control it. But Scripture tells us to bring it into subjection. It tells us, brethren, to work out with fear and trembling that which God has worked within us. And Jesus, like Jesus told the disciples, he says, I must leave that the Father would send the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide and direct us into all truths. And brethren, when we are blessed, brethren, to step away from all the noise and all of the clutter and all that stuff in the world that comes into our ears, and blessed to hear that still small voice, then we're blessed to hear. We're blessed to walk. And we're blessed to understand when Jesus told, when his disciples asked, he said, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? Because when we're blessed, brethren, to hear that still small voice, when we're blessed, brethren, to acknowledge him in all of our ways, when we're blessed, brethren, to equip ourselves for the war and battle that we're in, brethren, then we're blessed, brethren, to hear, to understand, and to walk. And in that walk, we have fellowship. Jesus says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and my Father and I, we will take up abode with you. In other words, they're going to come there, and we're going to feel that presence. We're going to feel that fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son. We're going to feel those things, brethren. And that is how Jesus manifests himself to us and not unto the whole world. When we are as obedient servants, when the old prophet told Saul, he says when Saul refused to do what God told him to do, well, in Saul's head he did. But in reality, Saul was just like our father Adam, as we can be from time to time. When the prophet came to Saul, he says, Saul, what is that bleeding of sheep that I hear in my ear? And Saul said, well, the people wanted me to do this. Well, Saul is the king. God had appointed him king. But Saul said, well, the people wanted me to do this. Well, who do you obey? Do you obey the people, or are you going to obey God? And the prophet told Saul, is not obedience, in other words, is it not better that we do what God will have us to do or what he directs us to do in his word? Isn't it better that we do that than we take upon ourselves to do that which is pleasing to the flesh of ours, to the natural side of ours? That dilemma that Saul had, brethren, is the same dilemma that you and I face every single day of our lives. And we too do just like Saul did. Well, I did it because. There ain't no because. Brethren, just like Saul's excuse was not acceptable, neither is mine. Neither is any of us. Now, Brother John is not talking about heaven's pure world. I hope you understand that. We're not talking about missing out on heaven. Well, Brother John is talking about missing out on that fellowship that we have with the Lord on this side of glory. I'm talking about when Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give, I give. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our journey here. We're just travelers, brethren, longing for a better home. We're here, but James says that our life here is but a vapor. We're moving through this life quicker than we would even imagine. And I could ask you, brother, I said, how old are you today? And we talked to our siblings, and we said, man, did we ever think we'd get to be this old? It was not even in our imagination when we were young, because that was really old. I mean, nobody gets that old, you know? But now we find ourselves here, and we find that life is just, the better part of our life is gone. Naturally speaking, for the best part of our life is yet to come, when we're absent from this flesh and we're in the presence of the Lord. Then we'll true joy began. But we can experience that peace and joy here on this side of glory. And they went on, they says, for the Lord our God, He is that brought us up and out of and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And you would think that if we lived in old times, and God brought all those plagues into Egypt, and we would think that when God calls his children to paint blood over the lintel or the houses that the angel of death passed over, and that all of the firstborn of Egypt died. And you would think that if we saw all of that, and Pharaoh finally let us go, and then we're here at the river, and we looked up and we saw Pharaoh coming behind us. Then Moses says, those that you see, you will see no more. And you would think, when God opened the river, and they walked through on dry land, you would think that they would make an unbeliever out of them, right? The God, my God, can do anything, right? But yet, it was just a little while later when Moses sent the scouts over into the other land that they came back and said, they're giants. We can't do. And God has just opened the river and allowed you to walk through on dry land. But yet you're telling God that no, we can't do that. And we think about that and we say, oh wow. How could they be like that? I would say, better still, anybody got a mirror? How can I be like that? Because we're all like that. God delivers us. And the very next trial we have, he says, Lord, how am I gonna get out of that? Or better still, we don't even call on the Lord. We're trying to get a shovel big enough to dig ourselves out of this ditch that we just got in. When there ain't no shovel big enough, because all we're gonna do is dig deeper and get deeper in that ditch. When all we have to do is simply reach up. And he who has promised to be with you in every circumstance of life will simply take your hand and deliver you and deliver me in our time of need. You see, brethren, in spite of us, that is the faithfulness of the God that we serve. He will deliver each and every time and each and every circumstance of life, bar none. He's ever present with us to deliver us. And he goes on, the people go on and says, and on verse 19, and Joshua said unto people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. You understand what Joshua was talking about. He was talking about our timely transgressions. Realizing that for the people of God, our sin debt is paid. It has been paid in its entirety. So what Joshua is basically saying, there is a consequence for us as God's little children when we're disobedient to the Word of God. There is a loss of fellowship, just like that David experienced when he sinned against the Lord our God and took upon himself another man's wife and sent a man to the front line to die. And the old prophet came to David, and David didn't understand what he was talking about when he told David, you know, he told David this story about this one who had all of this and this one man here who had this one little ewe lamb. And this man who had all of these stuff, he decides that he wanted to take that little one ewe lamb from the other man. And it made David angry. David wanted to kill the man who would do that. Until the old prophet told David, thou art the man. And it was at that moment that God opens David's eyes. And David was blessed to see what he had done. Sometimes we need eye-openers, brethren, to be blessed to see what we have done. And sometimes we need to be as a psalmist. When he wrote, he says, search my heart. And sometimes, brethren, we need to be mindful to ask the Lord to simply just search my heart and reveal any evil that might be therein. We've all heard of blind spots. We all have them. We all have these little quirks about us that we do and nobody, and everybody sees them but us. And sometimes we just need the searching eye, the Lord our God, to reveal that darkness that's in us. Because we all have it. We try to hide it, we try to conceal it, but the Lord knows all. And He is there, brethren, to deliver us even from those things. And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourself, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." I do pray that we would be as a psalmist who says that his desire all of his days that he would be blessed to gather in the house of the Lord. That we not take these blessings that we have for granted. That we'll be mindful always to seek the face of the Lord our God. Understanding that it is by His love that we have our being. It is by His grace that He has revealed certain truths to us. Not that we would hide these truths under a bushel, but that they would glow to the glory of Almighty God. That we as God's children might be blessed to walk in them. And to truly, with all of our hearts and with all sincerity, serve the Lord our God. All of the days of our lives. And we know that in order to be able to do that, we need to look up from whence cometh our help. Because our help cometh from God. He who has worketh within you to will and to do in accordance with His good pleasure has asked us to work it out with fear and with trembling. There will be obstacles along life's journey. There will be temptations along life's journey. The Lord was tempted in the wilderness, so we will be tempted. But unlike Him, we are with sin, He was without sin. But those temptations will come along. But God has promised that there is no temptation that comes our way that is not common to mankind. And that our God is faithful. In each temptation, He will not suffer you to be there more than you can bear. But He will, with every temptation, provide a way out. And that way out is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that rock that is higher than we. He is that rock that is steadfast. He is that rock who is the propitiation for our sins, who went to Calvary's cross to pay that debt that we could not pay ourselves, who reigns in heaven above as an advocate for us, interceding for us, brethren. And once we day, when He calls us home to glory, my thought is that it will be just like it was for Brother Stephen. That when He calls us home, He will be there standing to welcome us to the praise and to the honor and to the glory of the Lord our God. Blessed be His name.
You do publish Open Doors of the Church as we sing hymn number 441.
441.